Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
We're going to be going over a message that the Lord just kind of led me to entitled God With Us. How many know that the Lord is with us? Amen. The Bible calls him Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means that God is with us. Amen. Doesn't mean that we have this faraway God. He's not a distant God. He's not a God that cannot be reached or attained. But the Bible says that God is with who? Us. He's with you. That's right. He's with me. He's with you. He is in our midst. And so as we get into the word I found a couple little funny jokes and stories that I think would be a blessing to you. There's this one that says, I've been diagnosed with a fear of giants. It's called fee-fi-phobia. I like that. And there's this other one that says this. A lady went to a psychiatrist complaining of a terrible phobia. So every time I lay down on my bed, I get this terrible fear that there's something underneath. Wow, responded the psychiatrist. I've never heard of such a phobia. But like all phobias, it can be treated, but it will likely take around 20 sessions. Okay, responded the lady. How much is each session? Oh, it's just $80 a session, but trust me, it's well worth it. And when the lady didn't come back to the psychiatrist, he finally gave her a call. He goes, how come I didn't hear from you? Well, responded the lady, she said, when I came home and told my husband about the cost, he thought he'd save some money, so he just cut the legs off the bed. That would have been me. I would have been that guy. Said, you got fear that something's under the bed? Why don't we just cut the legs off the bed, right? There's a verse in the Bible that says, do not give the devil a footstool, right? That means don't give him a place to stand in your life. Don't give him an opportunity to hang around. Don't give him an opportunity to kind of be close enough to you to where he can eventually get a hold of you, right? And so not giving the enemy a footstool is something that I believe that this lady needed to do. Now, and I'll go ahead and expose the elephant in the room. There's a huge footstool that I believe people are giving the enemy right now, and it's called the coronavirus. While it's an incredibly, and I say this tenderly, don't mistake my words. I'm not one that is in any way, how do you say this? I'm not one in any way that's not just, that says, oh, well, that's nothing. I'm not saying that. I will say this. If you don't practice good hygiene now, then you better start, please. Amen? The church can say amen. All right, because I ain't shaking your hand until I know you're practicing good hygiene. Amen? The Bible says faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead, right? Got to wash your hands. That's the works. But the faith part is this. The faith part is not denying a problem's existence. It's denying it a place of influence in your life. Amen? Have you seen the shelves at CVS and Walgreens and HEB and Walmart? I hope you weren't one of the ones that was stockpiling all the toilet paper and Purell hand sanitizer and you know, the million, you know, tissues and antibacterial soaps. If you were, well, thanks for saving some for the rest of us. But if you are, please, you know, help me out. I guess I was a little too slow to get to the store. My point is this, is that fear has a way of creeping into the lives of people that say they trust and believe God because of what they hear people say. Fear has a way of getting a grip on someone's life because you are listening to a greater voice or a greater influence more than you're listening to the voice of the one who brings peace into your heart. Fear has a way of controlling people because fear, what it does is it has this, you know, paralysis effect. That is, fear just causes people to just tense up. If you've ever seen videos, you know, on YouTube, I watch videos from time to time, and I'm a hunter myself, so I like to hunt. And I've seen videos of guys, and they'll be out, you know, in the wild, and they're hunting some wild animal. And they're real tough when the animal's far away, right? If you've ever seen, you know, these videos, they're real tough when the animal's far away. But then when the animal gets really close, it's almost as if they didn't know what to do. I saw a video the other day, and there was this wild hog. You know, down in South Texas, we have tons of wild hogs, if you've never seen one or eaten one. But we have wild hogs, and this guy was literally, you know, sees this wild hog, and this wild hog is running at him, and it's as if he forgot that he had a weapon in his hand. And he just did this, he goes, and the hog just like ran him over. And if the hog could represent fear tonight, and the guy that was the hunter could represent a Christian, sometimes when the enemy puts something into the earth that is influential, it causes Christians to do this. They get fearful, and they back out, and it's almost as if they forgot that they had a weapon the whole time. Is this making sense to anybody tonight? It's almost as if they forgot that they were prepared and that they were equipped with something to be able to defeat the fear, to be able to defeat the enemy, to be able to defeat whatever it was that was trying to come against them. I say this as tenderly as I can, but listen, you are called to be a faith-filled warrior in Jesus Christ, not a fearful worrier. I'll say that one more time. You've been called to be a faith-filled warrior and not a fearful worrier. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he says, listen, don't worry about tomorrow. Because what tomorrow's promised for who? For nobody. He makes tomorrow happen if he wants to make tomorrow happen. So we don't have to fear tomorrow, because tomorrow doesn't exist without God speaking it into existence. Amen? And so what we're supposed to do as believers in Jesus is we are supposed to hold fast to the promises and the truth that he has given us. He has given us so many promises in his word, church. He's given us so many things for us to hold on to. And if you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Isaiah chapter 43. And if not, you'll see it on the screen behind me. Isaiah 43 in verse 1 says this. It says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. Everyone say, I am his. He says, you are mine. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. He says, the flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is the God that we serve. Amen. Why don't we pray for tonight's word? Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that, Lord, you just have your way. Holy Spirit, open every single heart, open every single ear in this room, God, to just, Lord, receive this word, God. Lord, any words that are my own, Father God, just let them fall to the ground, Lord, and let us receive of your Spirit, and you speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the Lord, when he commanded his people in this passage of Scripture to fear not, it wasn't because he was leaving or abandoning them. Don't be afraid, I'm just going to come back in a minute. That's not what he was saying. We do that with our children sometimes. I do that with my girls. Hold on. Daddy's just going to go inside real quick, you know, and they're playing in the backyard. And literally, they're like chicle. They're like a piece of gum. They're right there next to me. I'm like, I literally told you I wasn't going anywhere. I'm coming right back. But sometimes this is the byproduct of fear. And so the Lord, when he is commanding his people to fear not, it wasn't because he was actually leaving them. It wasn't because he was going to abandon them. It was because they would be in a season where the opportunity to fear would be present. They were going to be exposed to something where the opportunity to fear would be present. But he said what? But fear not. He said, it's okay, my child. Don't worry. Don't worry. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I have called you by name. Fear not, because I say that you're mine. He gives them this word, and that reminder that he instantly tells them was that his people, these promises were right here for them to hold fast to. Everything that he had just said, they were promises. He's saying, listen, look what you're supposed to do. You need to hold fast to these things today. That when everything around you and everyone around us is shuddering in fear because of coronavirus, because of disease or famine or elections or taxes or bills or violence in society, when everyone is full of fear, he says, I have redeemed you. He says, I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Man, that's a good word. But I'm here to remind you tonight, church, that no matter how bad things seem, Jesus will return. Amen. That is the blessed hope of the church. He's coming back, man. He's coming back. And guess what? I want him to come back. We need him to come back. But if he doesn't come back today, or he doesn't come back tomorrow, the promise is, church, for us, is that he can be with us right here, right now. You see, we don't have anything to fear because the Lord is with us. Amen? No matter how far God's truth, how far God's truth is from our nation or what have you, what's important for you and I to know is this, is that his name is Emmanuel. His name is Yeshua. That is that he longs, church, to be with every person. He longs for this closeness to be with you. And everyone that longs for his appearing, it's something that makes the heart of God rejoice. You see, he's not just saying, hey, listen, I'm going to rescue you, but you're going to have to go through a bunch of stuff now. No, he's saying, I'm going to be with you now. Amen. And one day, it's going to be the final straw. He's going to say, you know what? My children have gone through enough in this earth. It's time. It's time. The great harvest is going to happen, and he's going to take us to be with him forever in glory. Amen? And in that place, church, in that place of heaven, in that realm of heaven, no fear. I said no fear can exist. No fear can exist. But the beauty of the Holy Spirit is this, is that when he is living and he is burning inside of your heart, that verse that I read just a moment ago, it says, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love comes from where? The Father. It comes from the Father. And he's saying, if you put yourself there, you place your heart there, fear cannot exist in your life. Because in the place of the Father, when the Father is dwelling inside of his children's heart, fear cannot exist. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, this is talking about Jesus. It's talking about the Father. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:15, it says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in God. And it says, and so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. It says, because God is what? Love. And whoever lives in love, that's a lifestyle. Whoever lives in love, whoever abides in the Father's love, not just that you know that he loves you, but you love others. Amen? Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And it says, and this is how love is made complete amongst us, that we will have confidence on that day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And this is, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. This is because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Again, I say, let's be reminded tonight, church, that God is with us. And I want to take the time today during this message to hopefully answer the question, and that is this, is how can we know for sure, how do we know that God is still with those who believe in him? Today, the Lord himself has given us, I believe, true promises that we can lean on. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible says to not lean on our own understanding, but if our lean is on the promise keeper, if our lean is on the Lord, then we can walk in the midst of a war zone, church, with peace and confidence that he instills inside of our life. Amen? And so the first promise that we see in the book of Isaiah is this. Isaiah 43 and 1, it says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. He says, and I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. And so the promise of God here is that we are redeemed by him, church. God's redemption became available to you and I when he sent his son, Christ, to die on the cross for us more than 2,000 years ago. When he sent his son from heaven's throne room to pay the price by shedding his blood upon a cross for the sins of the world. When I think of the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus, church, it was to pay a debt that we can never pay. I said it was to pay a debt that you can never pay. You don't have enough years of life of serving God to ever repay that debt. You can't tell Jesus you love him a million times enough to pay that debt. You couldn't in all of your earnings in your career life ever repay the debt that our sin deserved, and that was what? Death. But Jesus said, listen, I love this world enough that I think they are worth dying for. That I think they are worth giving my life for. And the Bible teaches us, church, that he didn't blink. He didn't even think twice. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that he was like a lamb led to the slaughter, that he was silent. They hurled curses at him. They tore his beard. They beat his body, unrecognizable. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They pierced his side with a sword. Everything imaginable that should have been done to us, he took. Think about that. He took the punishment for you and I. His blood, church, is so powerful. It's so powerful, it's so lasting, it's so great a sacrifice that even today we can walk in the redemption that he provided for us. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. But the question is, do you know him as Redeemer? Do you know him as Redeemer? Someone in here might be saying, well, that's nice that Jesus died for Christians and believers, but what about me? Well, I'm not a Christian, or I don't yet believe in him. You might not know him as Redeemer, but he knows you. You might not know him from that place to say, well, I know him as one who paid the price for my sins, but guess what? He knows you. The Bible goes on to specifically say that he redeemed you. He has called you by name. He is reminding you today that you are his. When I first came to the Lord and I learned about God's love for me, when I first came to Jesus and I learned that this love was unconditional, it meant that no matter who I was or what I felt or how bad my attitude was or how angry I was, how broken I was, that he loved me. That he had a passionate, powerful love for me. And I'm going to be totally honest with you, church. I had a really hard time believing it. I did. Because all my life I was taught that I had to earn. All my life I was instilled with the work ethic. My dad for 37 years worked at the exact same place of employment. 37 years. I'm 37 years old. Talk about work ethic. He started making $2.15 an hour or something like that. Digging holes in the ground to put in these big signs that you would see on the highway. That was his job. And he did this for years and years and years till eventually it led him to be the manager. But he started in kind of the crew leader, and then he had like another crew that was under him, and he got to sit in an office. But he started with this crazy hard work ethic. And he taught me, he said, listen, son, if you want anything in life, you got to work for it. If you want anything in life, it's not just going to fall into your lap. It's not just going to happen for you. There's going to be hard work involved. How many of you know about hard work? Amen? How many of you have ever burnt that candle to the midnight hour because you were working, man? You were trying to provide for your family. You were trying to do. You were striving. You were trying to do everything in your power to make something happen. I'm a huge believer in work ethic, church. I believe that God honors work ethic. Amen? That when you don't think it's just going to happen for you, but you get up every day and you say, God, I give you this day, Lord. I rejoice in you because you made this day, God, so I'm going to give you my best. No matter what it is that you do. See, that's not the point. The point is that there's this work ethic. And I believe in hard work, church. I believe in all the things that hard work will achieve for your life. I played all kinds of sports, and it was always taught to me that it was like, hey, listen, if you want to be successful in that sport, you got to practice, right? It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, Duke, you're going to be scoring goals left and right because you sit on the bench all the time. Or, Duke, you're not going to be scoring goals left and right because, you know, you're pouting over here on the grass. No, man, you got to get up. You got to kick that ball a million times until it feels like second nature. None of y'all have ever seen me kick a ball, but I used to be pretty good at it. Pastor Thomas was actually a really good soccer player. He won't brag about it, but I've seen the guy. He's got skills. His son is a crazy athlete. It's hilarious. His son, Rosh, is the most effortless athlete I've ever seen in my life. We would play basketball all the time, and he was, I think, a little shorter than me when he got here, and then he grew a little taller than me. But Rosh used to just get the ball, and he would just do this. It was like he wouldn't even look at the hoop, and it would go in. And I was like, are you serious? I mean, he had like, God was either on his team, you know, just like putting the ball in the hole every time, but it looked like he didn't even try. But he did. There was effort. There was work that went behind it. You want nice things in life? Guess what? You're going to have to work. And this work mentality was so ingrained in my life, and it still is to this day, that it was so hard for me to believe that this love that I had just received, I didn't have to work. I didn't have to work for it. Say, God, I've worked for everything in my life, Lord. I started playing drums at the age of 5 years old and playing guitar when I was like 20. And I practiced those things. Those are things that you have to rehearse. It doesn't just happen for you. You have to put in time. There was a time in my life where I practiced drums 4 hours a day, 3 hours a day. Annoyed my parents to all get. Trust me. I'm sure they couldn't stand it. But finally it started sounding like something. But the hardest thing for me to conceive and perceive in my mind was that I could not earn the love of God. He just gave it to me. Say, God, but no, I've got to do something. And he's like, no. Nope. It's free. No strings attached. It's a completely free gift into your life. It's a completely free gift into your life. And church, I want us to understand something today. If you want to be a successful parent, spouse, provider for your home, I believe there's certain criteria. There's hard work and effort that must be done. It's not just going to happen. But the most powerful thing that the world has ever received was the Son of God, who chose to give his life as a ransom, as the redeemer for your sins. He died the death that we earned, but instead you don't have to pay for that debt because he says, I've taken care of the bill. But why, Lord? I didn't earn it. And his response is, because I love you. And I believe he asks every single one of us the question tonight, do you believe in me? Do you have faith that I can heal? Faith that I can forgive? Faith that I can change, empower, or make your life new? You see, if you can believe today, I believe that you can be redeemed. That is, that you too can have God, the God of the universe, call you by name into his kingdom when he returns. And you too can have the peace of God come into your heart during such a fearful and uneasy day and uneasy time that we live in. Isaiah 44:2 says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, he who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. He says, do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, whom I have chosen. Isaiah 44:22, a few verses later, he says, remember these things, O Jacob, for you are my servant, O Israel. He says, I have made you and you are my servant. He says, I will not forget you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud and your sins like the morning mist. He says, so return to me, for I have redeemed you. Everyone lift up your right hand to heaven tonight. Lift up your right hand. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am the Lord your God who takes a hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. I will help you. And so just right now, like you're clinging to heaven, right now I believe that the Lord can take a hold of that thing in your life that you might be holding on to, but there's a reason that God is saying, hold on to my right hand. Because when you lift up your hand to hold on to his hand, that means that you got to let go of something with your hand. There could be something in your life that you are trying to control. Something in your life that you have been trying to hold on to. And God's saying, let go of it so that you can hold on to me. Let go of it so that you can hold on to me, child. Let go of it because I am your redeemer. Let go of it because I will not put fear in your life, but I will help you, says the Lord. I believe, church, that we need to hold on to Jesus. We need to hold on to God because he is the only solution. He is our help. Our grip needs to loosen from the things of this world so that we can hold on to the hand of God. Man, sometimes we hold on to things so tight in this world. And we think that by us holding on to it, it's as if we can manipulate the situation. And God's saying, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Do you not trust my hand? Do you not trust the situation in my hand more than you trying to hold on to it? I know you won't admit this tonight, but how many of you are control freaks? Hey, it's okay. Some of you admitted it. You're also honest. There's something about control that I believe removes us from a place of faith. Does that make sense? When you're trying to control things in your life, it's as if you're saying, God, my plan is better than your plan. It's as if you're saying, well, God, I can hold and make this situation better for myself, better than you can do it. And God's saying in his word, he says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Casting something is releasing it. It's letting it go. It's not holding on to it. It's not saying, let me manipulate the situation, but it's literally saying, Lord, I release it to you. And there's a measure of faith that God wants us to have because I quoted a verse to you earlier, faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. What does that mean? That means that, yes, there's a responsibility of doing things. We don't just say, okay, God, you handle it and never pray about it, right? We don't just say, okay, God, you handle it, and we never do the things that God has given us to do. But there's this supernatural release that happens in your life when it is completely in his hands, there's a peace that fills that place in your life. Amen? It's when you're still holding on to it that I believe that you're robbing yourself of that peace that he wants to give you in whatever given situation. So when we have let go of things in this world, and we have let go of things that we are trying to control, only then can God come into that situation and provide the peace that you so desperately need. Henry Ford says this. He says, I believe God is managing affairs and that he doesn't need advice from me. He says, so with God in charge, that is, he put him in charge. He says, I believe everything will work out for the best in the end. So what is there to worry about? You see, there's a lot of wisdom in that statement. A lot of people throw that statement around that God is in charge. God's in control. No, God's in control of what you release to him. There is providence, and then there's a difference between free will and providence. Providence looks like this. Providence is when God completely takes over the situation. I've been a part of services where God has completely taken over the room. And I don't think anybody could have done anything about it. God said, I'm going to have my way in this room. I'm going to have my way in this place. And then there's free will. There's you saying, God, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to release this to you, or you're going to say, God, I'm going to hold on to it. Both exist. Amen? But to say or believe that God is in control or God is in charge, God's in charge of what you have said, Lord, take over. Because he's not going to what? He's not always just going to just tamper with your life. Or else there'd be no need for faith. There'd be no need for trust. If your hope is in the Lord, then there's nothing to worry about because you know him as Redeemer. The second promise that he gives us is this, is that we are sheltered by him. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. See, this word reminds me, church, of the protection that God is over those that are redeemed. This is this covering that he provides for you and I that have said yes to him, that he will guard you. He will watch after you. He will protect you. He will shield you from all evil that comes your way. But I love the way Isaiah said it. He said, when you pass through the waters, when you go through the rivers, when you walk through the fire and through the flames. And Psalm 91 says this, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So there's something about being connected to Jesus through this relationship with him that there's a peace that covers your life. I know that I'm not talking to anybody that like worries a lot. Just kidding. But there's certain things that I don't worry about. I don't know why. Maybe my trust in him is just greater. I don't know how to explain it. But all I know is that I hear things that the news says. I hear things that people say, and it doesn't really cause me to worry. Because I just take everything to him. I just say, Lord, I'm not going to worry about this. What's it going to add to my life? It's going to take from me, if anything. Psalm 91 goes on to say, verse 2, he says, I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He says, surely he can save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. He says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. He says, but it will not come near you. He says, you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. He says, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. It says, because he loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. He says, I will be with him in the trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You see, God's salvation comes to those who are connected with him. It comes to those that are connected, church. John chapter 15 and verse 4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus was plain and clear in telling us that difficult days would come. He's talking about fires. He's talking about rivers, man. He's talking about raging waters. He's talking about arrows. He's talking about wars. He's talking about things, church. He's talking about pestilence and famine. He's talking about sickness and disease. He's talking about all of these things. All of these things. But he says, if you're connected to me, you're not going to drown. If you're connected to me, you're not going to get burned. You're not going to get burned. Isaiah 54 and verse 14, it says, in righteousness you will be established. Righteousness is a person, church. Righteousness is Jesus. In righteousness you will be established, and tyranny, that's like war, will be far from you, and you will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. Verse 17, it goes on to say, no weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. You see, maybe somebody in here has been facing tough days. Well, guess what? We all have. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, somebody's been questioning my belief in Jesus. Your faith is being challenged, or you're being persecuted in the workplace, or persecuted in relationships that you have. You've received hatred coming at you because of you taking a stand for God. Then let this reminder that Paul spoke give your heart peace today. 1 Peter 4 and 12 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. He says, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. John 16 and 33 says, and I have told you these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. And in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. He says, I have overcome the world. You see, all of these verses that we just read tell us of the trials and the things that are facing or will face. But not once does it say that anything's going to happen to us. It just says that there might be a weapon that is formed against you, but it will not prosper. It will not prosper. Exodus 33 and 14 says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. The beauty of having a relationship with Jesus is that his presence goes with us wherever we go. I said, his presence is with you wherever you go. It's not just in the room. It's not just in the sanctuary. You go home tonight and the presence of God's right there with you. You go in your prayer closet. You go bow your knee before God at home and his presence just fills that place. Why? Because he's never going to leave you. He's never going to abandon you. And finally, God promised us this, that we would inherit one day heaven. There's something so beautiful about heaven, church. You know, heaven is this place that, you know, sometimes people fantasize and they make up all kinds of things about it, and they just think that heaven's going to be the thing that you like to do most. So if you're, you know, a person that likes to eat barbecue, well, in heaven, that's all there's going to be is barbecue. Amen, right? I made some pulled pork this weekend. It was heavenly. And it might get me to heaven faster if I keep eating it. But sometimes there's this notion that, you know, heaven is just this place of you know, all our, you know, desires and things, you know, fulfilled. You know, and I believe that there's going to be a incomparable joy. There's going to be this insurpassable peace. There's going to be just this the light and the beauty of Jesus radiating, just finally completely unveiled for all to see. Just a glorious place. But I don't think it's going to be as sometimes we make it out to be. And that's okay. Because guess what? It's going to be the best thing that you've ever experienced in your life. John 14 says this: do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. He says, in my Father's house there's many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, and I am going there to prepare a place for you. He says, and if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Jesus came to this earth to live and die for our sins. And the Bible says that he didn't stay in the earth like mortal men who pass away, but that he was resurrected by the power of his Father in heaven. And this is why Jesus was able to say what he said. He says that he was going to prepare a place, a home in heaven for us. And this reassures us that one day he will what? He will return. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. He says, that's where you are a citizen of. He says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will one day be like his glorious body. You see, the whole reason that God sent Jesus to die for our sins was so that we could live with him in heaven forever, but so that heaven could live with us now. I think sometimes we just say, you know what, heaven's a place that we'll one day get to, and we got to live through hell on earth. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit lives inside of everyone who has said yes to Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit is burning inside of your life tonight, then there can be this peace that is in you and around you and filling you and flowing out of your life everywhere you go. But if Jesus is not living in your heart and you have not made him Lord over your life, then my friends, that you won't have the peace that I'm talking about. You won't have the sustained joy in the middle of chaos that I'm talking about. You won't have the promises of heaven backing you. You won't have the comfort of a Father that will embrace you in any storm unless your heart belongs to Jesus. Hebrews 13 and 14 says, for here we do not have an enduring city that is in earth. He says, but we are looking for the city that is to come. It's one day going to come. Amen? This world could never satisfy and never be enough to keep in heaven a God's presence forever. It's only through Jesus. Amen? In order to live in heaven, a place of complete purity and perfection, in the presence of a holy God, we too must embrace the holiness that Jesus is. The Bible says that if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we will be filled. That is, if we hunger for Jesus, that he will fill that place in your life. That is to say that we will attain a fulfillment and satisfaction that no pill, no drug, no medicine, no party, no hobby, no job or money could ever fill in your life. When you have Jesus as Lord in your life, everything that the world has to offer will always come in second place. It cannot compare. It can't. It just can't. There's this old song that says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather have Jesus by his nail-pierced hands. See, there's nothing that this world can give you. There's nothing that you could earn. There's nothing that you could try to attain that will ever compare to the glorious one of Jesus. I want to be filled with more of the Lord. Amen. And if you want to be filled with more of Jesus and be filled in your faith, be charged in your life where you're just, you have this confidence in God where you're just full of God. Then listen, I need to just give you a reminder tonight, a word of correction. If you want to be filled with Jesus, then stop drinking from the world's well. Okay? There are things that you control. Social media, you control it. Shouldn't control you. The news channel that you watch, you control it. Amen? You got the remote in your hand. Turn it, shut it off. But sometimes you get so locked into these things that you're just being controlled by it. And it's just speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking and it's telling and it's telling and it's telling. And all of a sudden you're going, oh man, did you hear? Oh man, did you hear, brother? I get people that text me stuff all the time. Hey, brother, oh my gosh, man, did you hear about that? I'm going, yeah. I'm aware. But his voice is more important. I said, his voice is more important. I know what they said. That's okay. I'm more concerned with what he's got to say. Amen? I'm more concerned with what he's got to say about the matter because he has the final word. Amen? I said, he's got the final word. Hebrews 11 and 16, it says, instead they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. It says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. John 1 and 12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children of the Almighty God. And so the question tonight is, do you believe that God is with you? Do you believe that God is with you? And as I ask you to just bow your heads tonight. Do you believe that God is with you? If you cannot honestly answer that question tonight, then I want to pray that God is with you. I want to pray that Jesus becomes Lord of your life. I want to pray that Jesus becomes the answer that you have been seeking, the answer that you so desperately need. And so I'm going to just give every one of us this opportunity right now tonight. For those of you who aren't so sure if Jesus is living in your heart, you can be today. And it's as simple as this. All you have to do is believe in faith that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness. Confess that he is Lord and believe that you are saved. And so if there's anyone in the room tonight, I just want to give you the opportunity right now. You say, Pastor Duke, I have yet to find this peace in my life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. For the rest of us in here tonight, Father, we pray right now that we would not allow the fear that the world is trying to poison our minds and our hearts with to control us any longer. I want you to just lift your voices right now for a minute, church. And I want you to just pray right now. You could stand up tonight if you wish. But I want you to pray right now against any single just thing of fear that's been trying to come into your life. Maybe there's been some kind of footstool that you have allowed the enemy to stand on. Tonight, we're going to tear it down in Jesus' name. Amen? So I want you to lift your voices tonight just for a minute. I want you to lift your voice tonight just for a second. And just begin to pray right now that the only voice that matters and the only voice that you need to pay attention to tonight is the voice of the Lord. Amen? Is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so right now, right there where you're at, I want you to just begin to just pray. Whatever that thing is, whatever that thing that has gotten in your way, whatever that thing is that has been, you know, just kind of at the forefront of your mind that has been bothering you, it's been that thing that you've been concerned over, it's been that thing that you have just said, you know what, Jesus, I have given this too much influence in my life. I want right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would just tear that thing down right now. Father God, we just tear down, God, every single thing, Lord, right now, God, that is setting itself, God, against, Lord, the knowledge of you, God, in our hearts tonight. And Father God, we just, Lord, ask in the name of Jesus right now, God, that anything, God, that the enemy has tried to plant, Lord, in our lives, Jesus, Father God, we just tear it out right now in Jesus' name, God. If there be any footstool, Lord, tonight, that we have allowed, Lord, in our life, God, that somehow, God, we have given him permission, God, that somehow, God, we have believed the lie, Lord, and allowed him to stand on that place, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we tear it out, Father God, right now. I said, in the name of Jesus, God, we remove it right now. Come on, church, begin to pray. Come on, church, just begin to pray right now. Come on, just begin to lift your voice in this room tonight. Father God, we are, Lord, children of promise. We are children of destiny, God, tonight. We are children, Father God, that will not fear, Lord, because, Lord, you have bought us, Lord, and you have redeemed us with the precious blood of Jesus. I said we will not fear because, Father God, Lord, we place ourselves, Father God, Lord, in your spirit, Father God. We place ourselves, Father God, in your hands, Jesus. And Father God, from that place, God, we know, Father, that perfect love, God, casts out all fear, God. Let there be nothing, God. I said that let there be nothing tonight, Jesus, God. Lord, that would have a place of influence, God, greater, Lord, than you, God. You said, God, that greater was you in us, God, than he that was in this world, God. And so no matter what spirit, God, no matter what disease, God, no matter what famine, God, no matter what anything the enemy tries to bring against us, God, Father God, will ever have a place, God, in our life, God, that is bigger than you. I said, it will not have a place in our lives that is bigger than you, Jesus. And so, Father God, we just trust in you tonight. We just trust in you tonight. We just trust in you tonight. We just trust in him tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.